my family and I just went on a family vacation, just a mini one, and it was our Christmas present to our kids. We recognized that we have a short time with our kids at home. My oldest is 14. Now, we do have one that's due in February, and so that just got all out of whack. But our oldest is almost out of the house, and we want to create memories because I do not have any. I'm the youngest of four. I don't have any memories of anything we did with my older siblings. And so I think it's important. So we decided, hey, we're going to limit some of our shopping for Christmas, and we're going to go out and we're going to do stuff as a family. So we went to Leavenworth, and we stayed just outside of Plain. And so one morning, we were going into Leavenworth, and we were talking, and my oldest, Elise, was talking about something. She saw a sign, started talking about that thing, and like completely transitioned to which we were trying to figure out what's going on. And without skipping a beat, my wife was like, squirrel! And my kids were like, what? What is a squirrel? And actually, that's what happened in Paul's letter right here, in Ephesians 3. Paul is tracking, going down one path, and then he writes one sentence, and then he's like, oh, but wait, let's go over here. And that's what Ephesians 3, 2 through 13 is. This is kind of this rabbit trail that we're going to head down that's super important. Ephesians 3, 1 says, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, and then I love the NLT puts the ellipsis mark, like, this sentence isn't quite done yet. It will pick up again in verse 14, but we're headed a different direction. And it's okay. We're allowed to do this. Like, how many of you guys are in the middle of a story all the time and you just kind of go in a different direction? Like, we all do it. So it's really fun when we read scripture and like, wait, he's human. He does the same thing I do. How many of you guys have ever heard the word call or heard a Christian use the word call? Like, we use it a lot of times where we say, oh, I feel called to this, or I don't feel called to that. So I think actually the word gets used a lot, and I'm not sure it always gets used in the right way. And so I want us to kind of look at what this word means. And according to the New Compact Bible Dictionary, which is like the it's truth. I don't know, someone wrote it. They said it was a dictionary. I believe what it's saying. It makes sense. So, the New Compact Bible Dictionary says there's four really ways of using the word call. One, to speak out in a way of prayer, to call, to summon or appoint, to name a person or a thing, to invite someone to accept salvation in Christ. And this last call is the Spirit of God calls us to himself. In most cases, we use the word call in terms of summoning or appointing. I feel or don't feel summoned or appointed to this thing. Here's the deal, though. I think a lot of times we're not necessarily honest with when we use this word call. Because there's times where we use the word call and we're like, oh, I don't feel called to this. But it's something that all of us as believers are actually called to. So when we use the word call, we have to be honest. There's the call to salvation, which when we put our faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness, since we've been called by the Spirit of God, called by the Father into a relationship with him, called to salvation. But then there's a general call to all believers, and that call is a call to obedience. So we're called to do things like evangelize. Every believer is their responsibility to share their faith, make disciples, tithe, get baptized, serve one another, love, be a missionary. Like, not necessarily we have to go overseas in vocational mission, but we are all missionaries in this world. Now, we may be called to a specific task, and God will make that known. We don't have to search out what God wants us to do a lot of times. He will make it known when we have a specific message that we're supposed to bring or a specific task that we're supposed to do. And that's ultimately what we're getting into now is Paul's kind of going down this rabbit trail, and the place that he starts is just the call that God had placed on his life. the call that God had placed on his life. So look at Ephesians 3 with me, verses 2 through 5. Assuming, now Paul starts out with this word, and he's saying, hey, assuming that you already know this. Now he knows that the people of Ephesus know his story. He spent 3 years with them. So they know him. They know where he came from. They know what God had been doing in his life. And so he starts out with just saying, assuming, and the idea is, I'm adding this for effect. Assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace, unmerited favor, giving what we don't deserve to the Gentiles. God gave him this special responsibility to extend grace, God's grace, to the Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, and now most likely he's talking about Ephesians 1, 9, and 10, and then Ephesians 2, 11 through 21. He talks specifically about this message that he's been given. God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. And you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it in previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Now, we need to get some context to understand a couple things, and I think it will help us. Saul, Paul's name was Saul before. We meet him in Acts 7, where at the stoning of Stephen, where the people that were stoning Stephen were throwing their coats at the feet of Saul. So Saul was at this persecution. Saul was a Jew that was an understudy of Gamaliel. Now, Paul, after this stoning, went on a persecution spree, killing Christians, seeking Christians to kill them. So he asks for permission. He goes to Damascus. On his way to Damascus, God meets him in a crazy way. Bright light, goes down to his knees. God talks with him. Saul ends up being led to Damascus. He waits there for the Lord. And ultimately, this is his call to forgiveness. This is his call into a relationship with God. Now, he waits in Damascus for further instruction, but he had been called into that relationship. Now, God also gave him a special message. And that message was to bring grace to the Gentiles. It was a mysterious plan. It wasn't thought about at this point. That's why it was a mystery. Now, it's important to recognize the source of Paul's call and the message that he was given. It says in, I think verse 4, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. So this message, this call was by God. It was given to Paul, and he knew it was from God. He didn't have to go searching for a message. He didn't have to figure out what God wanted him to do. God made it clear, hey, you need to go do this. This is what I want for you. And I think there's times where as believers, we're trying to search, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? We're looking, and God wants us, one, to live in obedience, but two, if he's got a special thing for us to do, he's going to make it known. Now, we need to be listening. We need to be spending time with him. We need to get to know him. But he will make it known. We don't have to go searching for it. He gives some believers a special call for a specific time and reason. But he'll make it known. The question I have is what is the general call to obedience that all believers are called to? What is this general call to obedience about? And as Tamina and I were driving back from Leavenworth, we were listening to the song, and Tamina was like, wait, hold on, play that song again. We listened to the words a couple times because it was like, this is what life is about. So watch this video.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me. To make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And
the simplicity of that, and we are all called to deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Christ. That it's not about our kingdom, it's not about what we have, it's not about what we build, it's about what He wants, it's about what He has called us to, and He has called us to many things. One, He's called us to turn from sin and live in freedom, in the freedom we are given in Christ. He's called us, hey, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift I give you, it's this gift of eternal life. It's this gift of forgiveness. I'm calling you out of sin into repentance to live in this forgiveness, this freedom that you can have. We're called to be set apart from the world, but to Christ. Again, it's not about my kingdom. It's not about me having a legacy. It's not about me being remembered. It's about Christ being set apart from this world to Christ. We are called to be thankful. Imagine if we lived a life of thankfulness and how that would change how people see us, how people interact. We all know those annoying people that are way too happy and way too thankful about everything, and that's what God wants. Like, you annoy me. Why? Because I'm not as thankful as you are. Like, wait a minute. God wants us. He has called us to be thankful because He's given us so much. He's called us to love others and to live in unity. Like, love, wow, we need to love our family well. We need to love each other well. We need to love our enemies well. We need to live in unity. That's what he's called us to. He's called us to be missionaries in this foreign land. We are sojourners. This isn't our home, but we are called to be missionaries and make disciples of those who don't know him, so that they can come to know him, so that they can know who their father is, and they can have a relationship with him. It's what we are called to. We are called to seek to know him, to spend time with him. Now, I could go on, like, there's so many things we are called to, and any time in the Bible where it's saying, hey, do this, that's a call to us to live in obedience to his ways. So God gave Paul this call into a relationship with himself. God has called us into a relationship with him. God called Paul to live in obedience. God has called us to live in obedience to him. God called Paul and gave him a special message. Now, some of us may have that special message. Some of us may have a special task for a time and a place. And God will make that known to us. But we need to live in the call that God has placed on our lives. Paul was called. I get mocked by students a lot of times for a lot of different reasons. But one of them is I have a special phrase that I love to say a lot, and they get tired of hearing it. And I've actually been mocked by adults too about this. So I have this phrase that God gave me that I needed. And I wish I would have known it when I was growing up. Like, I'd probably heard it, but God just didn't make it come alive to me. But for some reason, God made it come alive to me. And it's in Proverbs 4:23. It's guard your heart. And everyone that's ever been in my ministry smiled a little bit because they remembered all the conversations we've had about guarding your heart. And God gave me this message for me because I needed it in my life. But I also saw the need for students to live in a way that they guarded their heart from the enemy and drew near to God. So I feel like God gave me this message for me. Now, it's not just to me. I mean, the Bible wasn't written just to me. No. But God made it, that message, come alive to me through the Spirit of God. And God ultimately gave Paul a message. And it was a super important message for that time frame in that culture, because they needed to hear, because there was so much going on and they needed instructions on this. And so God made this mysterious plan known through Paul. Ephesians 3:6 says, "And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of God's people." Now, most likely this is in reference to the fact that he was a persecutor of the church. There may be some guilt, some shame that he's wrestling through. "Though I'm the least deserving of God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasure available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heaven and the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ, our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence." He had this special message. And that message is, there is unity in the church. That it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, you can boldly enter the throne room of God because of what Christ did. Paul's saying there's no discrimination in God's economy. We are equally sinners, but we are also equally forgiven of our sin through Christ. Galatians 3:26 through 29 says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Faith in Christ binds us together into the family of God. And in God's economy, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. So if you weren't Jewish, you were a Gentile. So he's saying there is no separation here. You're equal. Whether you're slave or free, whether you're male or female. Now, our distinctiveness don't change. But we all have the same position in God's family. We are equal. We are heirs with Christ. There are no second-class citizens of God's family. We are all one in Christ with an inheritance. And that is just an awesome thing. Just the unity that Christ brought. Now, this was a huge problem in Paul's time. There were people called Judaizers, and these Judaizers would come in, and they would go after Paul, and they would preach. And what they would preach is, yes, you need Jesus, but you also need to follow the Old Testament law. And so they were putting Gentiles in this just predicament of, wait, do I have to? Like, in order for me to be forgiven, like, do I have to do this and I have to do this? And so there was all these questions that Paul was constantly answering of, wait, is it this and this, or is it just Jesus? And Paul's saying, hey, it's just Jesus. God gave him a specific message for a specific time because he needed to clear up some heresy. He needed to clear up some things that were taught that weren't true. Paul had an important message. The question is, what's our message? What's our message? What's our important message that we have for our culture, for our time? Now, our message isn't going to be that much different because all of our messages are coming through the Word of God, by the power of God, through the Spirit of God in our lives. But what is our message? Our message has to be, first, a message of hope. A message of hope that through Christ, we have a future. See, culture says we came from nothing, we actually will end in nothing, so this life doesn't matter, do what you want. God says, no, I created you, I spoke everything into existence, I'm calling you to myself, I'm calling you into this family of God, I'm calling you into this relationship, and you have hope of a future. See, when we lose hope, whether in the faith or outside the faith, whether we're a Christian or not, if we lose hope, we go into despair. And when we go into despair, we start making decisions that we would not normally make. We have hope because of what Christ has done for us. And we have a message of hope that we have to bring inside the community of faith and into our culture, into our world. So we have a message of hope through what Christ has done. We have forgiveness of sins because of that. We have a message of grace. We're not perfect. We do not get everything right all the time. But we have been given grace. Not to keep on sinning, but to get back up again when we fall. God is the judge of the world. At some point, he's going to judge this place. We need to bring hope, though. The hope of salvation and the grace of God to everyone in the family of God and in our culture. We have a message of grace. We don't deserve the forgiveness that we have. And we shouldn't take what we don't deserve for granted. We should take what we don't deserve and give it away, recognizing the gift that we've been given. So we have a message of hope. We have a message of grace. We have a message of unity. Like, think of our culture. What does our culture need? Unity. It doesn't matter what race, color, or sex you are. We are all one in Christ. Again, that doesn't mean we lose our distinctiveness. Distinctivenesses are great. Like, we would lose just how awesome our world is if all of us were the same. Other cultures bring things to us that we need, and it's fun and it's great and it's exciting. And so there's unity, and no one is better than anyone else. So we are one, we are unified, but it doesn't change our distinctiveness. There should be no racism, sexism, ageism, classism in our churches. We are unified through Christ's work on the cross. We have a message of unity. We have a message of hope. We have a message of grace. We have a message of unity. And we have a message that is good news. It's good news. In a world where there's not much good news, our message is a message of good news. We need to share our great hope and grace and unity and forgiveness with everyone. It's a message that needs to be shared. And we are God's mouthpiece. We are who God chose to use to share that message. We play an important role in sharing God's message that He has given us in our culture, in our time, in our community. We are His mouthpiece. God gave Paul a message. God gave us a message. A message of hope, a message of grace, a message of unity, and a message that's, it's stinking good news. Let's not take it for granted. Now here's the thing though. There's so many times that we let our circumstances thwart the message that God has given us. Read verse 13. So please don't lose heart. So please do not lose heart. Please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. So Paul's in prison, and really kind of what started this rabbit trail was he was talking about his imprisonment, and so what does he do? He's like, oh, wait. Yeah, I'm in prison. Why am I? And he goes through his call, the message that he has. But he's saying, hey, don't lose heart. Now, Paul suffered a lot while he was on this earth for sharing the message that he shared. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11, we get a picture of all the things that he had to endure because of the message that he brought. Now, the context of this is there were people that were boasting, and so he just decided, all right, if you're going to do this, hey, let's go down this path together. Verse 22 says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendant? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, because they couldn't do 40. They could only do 39, because it would be against the law. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. And I don't really like that translation. It should be, and once I was stoned, left for dead. They thought I was dead on the road. Like, they literally threw stones and they stopped because they thought he was dead. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger in the sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, besides all of this, I face daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. So Paul understood horrible circumstances. Paul went through a lot in order to spread the message that God gave him. Now, he didn't give up when the going got tough. Oh man, this whole being like beaten thing, it's not really fun. I'm going to go live out in the wilderness, start a community of my own, and maybe they won't find me. No, he says in Galatians 6:9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do in the Lord is ever useless. Paul didn't let his circumstances stop him from sharing his message. He didn't grow tired of doing what was good. He worked enthusiastically for the Lord, knowing that it was not useless. Our obedience to God is never useless. Now, things may not turn out the way we want them to turn out. I'm not sure when Paul went into this, he thought, this is going to be awesome. I mean, God did tell him, I'm going to show you how much you're going to suffer for my sake. But I'm not sure that he thought, oh, yeah, being stoned, that'd be great. You know, getting beat with a rod, that's awesome too. Getting whipped, that's great. Shipwrecked, you know. I'm not sure he went through and he understood all that he was getting into. But he didn't let his circumstances hinder the message that God gave him. He didn't let his circumstances hinder the call that God had placed on his life. We cannot let our circumstances hinder us. Now, the question for me is what are the circumstances that thwart us from sharing the message? What are the circumstances that stop us I'm moved to the point of not able to do this. I can't adult today. It's just too overwhelming. So what is it in our lives that stop us? First, being tired. Being tired stops us from parenting. Being tired as parents, like our kids for some reason don't listen the way that they always should, so that tires me out. Or work is tiresome. Relationships, man, some relationships are hard work. And so I get tired, and so I don't want to adult. I don't want to check in. I don't want to work hard. So what thwarts us from living out the way that God has called us to live and giving the message that He gives us is our tiredness. Some of the tiredness for me is obviously losing some weight would really help me not be so tired. But also having a proper perspective of what God is doing will help me. What hinders us from sharing the message that God has given us? We're tired. Sometimes when I was in college, one of my teachers once said, one of the most spiritual things you can do is take a nap. I love that. Sometimes we have to take a step back, get rest we need so that we can engage in a healthy way. So being tired is a legit thing. It's just, it should not stop us from being who God called us to be. And sometimes we may need to take that step back. What hinders us from sharing our message? We don't know the message. We don't know what we're supposed to share. We go to church because it's a good thing to do. We want to read our Bibles, but it can be confusing. We don't really like Christian music, so we don't really connect with God in that way. And honestly, prayer just is a little weird. Like talking, and He doesn't talk back. So we're not even sure how to connect with God. We're not even sure what the message is. And we have to fight through those obstacles. If we understand what Christ has done for us, if we understand the call that He's placed on our life, we should be able to work through the obstacles of, I don't understand it. Hey, there's plenty of ways to understand the Bible. There's plenty of people you can talk to. There's plenty of podcasts. There's plenty of commentaries. There's plenty of books that will help us understand. It's just whether or not we really actually want to. So one of the things that hinders us is that we just don't know the message. And some of it's because we haven't spent the time with the Lord that we need to. Another thing that hinders us, we don't believe the message is true because we don't see it in our lives. Like, this life is not what I thought it would be. I thought it would be like this. I thought God would do this. I thought that if I asked for this, this would happen. So I don't necessarily believe it because I don't see God doing what I've asked Him to do. We had just got to the camp that we were staying at last weekend with the students. So there's 38 of us going to this snow camp, and we are ready to sled. We get there, and there's no snow. Well, not really, no snow. There was some snow, but there wasn't enough snow to go sledding. So we're like, well, crud, we're going to pray for snow. So we prayed for as much snow as He would give us as long as we could still get home. I think 5 feet was mentioned. Well, God didn't send any snow. So then we're like, well, that stinks. Like, we don't have any snow. Like, we can't go sledding. So instead of giving us snow, we were able to go to White Pass, sled for free on a hill that was much better than the hill that we would have ever sledded on. So if God would have answered our prayer, we would have gotten lots of snow and we would have had okay sledding. But he didn't answer our prayer, and he gave us much better sledding and a much better place. See, a lot of times in life, we look at things and we say, God, I want you to do this, and he does something different. We're like, well, why'd you do it that way? We have to trust that he knows what he's doing. His ways are greater than my ways. And so a lot of times what hinders our message is we don't believe that God's doing anything because he doesn't do it in the way that we think he should do it. We can't control outcomes. What we control is our obedience, our faithfulness, and we let him take care of the outcomes. We are so often so focused on the outcome, we don't control outcomes. We just never have. We never will be able to. We are in so little control outside of our obedience and our faithfulness to him. So sometimes what hinders us from sharing the message is we don't believe it. We don't trust that God is who he says he is. Now, we believe there's a God. We believe that he's active, but I don't know that I trust him. Another thing that hinders is we're too busy. I think busyness is our greatest idol. We have places to go, people to see, things to do, and once I'm on the journey, then if God opens the door, then I'm willing to share. But really, I've got things I've got to do. I've got to live my best life now because it's short, and so I've got to live it now. And as long as God opens the doors, you know, I will share the message that he's given. But it's about me living my best life now. And we get focused on what we want. I've got to remodel my house. I've got my kids' practices. I've got these friends I got to go hang out. We got to have our family time. Oh, I need some downtime, so I need some PUBG time. I need this. And as long as God kind of shows up in the midst of that, like, I'll live in obedience, but I need to do this stuff first. We're too busy. And that hinders us. If we are not intentional about bringing the message that God has given us, it will not happen. Something I wrestle with is the fact that God never promised me downtime. I'm not guaranteed that I will be able to sit in front of my Xbox every day. I'm not guaranteed that I will be able to read sports as much as I humanly want. But I think sometimes I pursue that more than I pursue the intentionality of sharing the message that God has given us. What's hindering you from sharing the message that God has given us? We've all been given a call by God into a relationship with him. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've not put your faith and trust in him for the forgiveness of sins, if you've not surrendered yourself to him, please, God is calling. Come. Talk to me. Talk to Martin. Surrender your life to him. If you have put your faith and trust in Christ, you have a call to live in obedience, which means we take what the Bible says, we learn it, and we live it out, and we live differently. And now he may give us a special task at a special time with a special message, and we need to live into that. We need to lean into that. But God has given us a message. We have 66 books. He's revealed himself. He's given us the Spirit of God to enlighten us, to help us understand what the Bible says. So he's given us a message, just like he gave Paul a message. Are we sharing it? What's hindering that? I'd venture to say we hinder the message more than anything. Our selfishness. It's 2019. It's a great time to evaluate. What's hindering the message that God wants to share through you? And let's just, again, put it in perspective. Paul to Timothy. Timothy to so-and-so. So-and-so to so-and-so. They were faithfully sharing the message to, we can sit here today because someone shared the message before us. Who will sit here tomorrow? Figurative tomorrow, because of the message we share. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes and our hearts to your ways. Lord, thank you for the call that you've given us. Lord, there is no hope apart from you. God, I pray that we'd lean into the message that you've given us. Lord, that we'd live it out in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, everywhere we go. God, and I just pray for, especially in the family, where it's so hard. To be gracious, it's so hard to be loving, it's so hard to be kind when you're so close to each other. And God, I pray that you would help us with that. And Lord, it just wouldn't stay in the family, Lord, it would permeate out. God, work in our hearts and our minds. In your name I pray. Amen.